Heavenly Father, almighty God, we thank you for coming this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are with us all the way.
Amen.
And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us this evening. We pray that Heavenly Father, we may learn from your word. We pray that you may speak to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, the Spirit may be here this evening, teaching each one of us from your word. Heavenly Father, thank you that you would be here if we ask. We do pray for your help this evening. Heavenly Father, we pray that you may have all the glory. We are so assured of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray for those that can't be here. We pray, Lord, that whatever they're doing, Lord, that they may be near them. We pray especially for the pastor. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give them a good break, both spiritually and mentally, physically. We pray that you may come back, Lord, ready to spread your word amongst the churches. We do pray for you this evening. So, Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, that the name will be up with this evening. We pray, Lord, that we may walk closer with you, with you in your words. We pray it's all in your holy name.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to speak this evening about a character in the Bible from the Old Testament, about Caleb. I remember sharing this word with the people at Whitstable, I think about 7-8 months ago, and Dad came then, so he's here for the second time. And I was reading my notes, I thought, I'm showing a couple of these ideas. I read lots of them from Joel Beakey. There's lots of God's scripture in here as well, so I hope this helps you see them. Let's turn to Numbers, please, Numbers 13. I'm not going to read all of chapter 13, I'm going to miss the middle part out, and then going to chapter 14. It's when Caleb and Joshua are sent into Canaan. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. All of them, men, who were heads of the children of Israel. I'm going to verse 17. Then Moses sent them up to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, "Go up this way into the south, and go up into the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied on the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south, and came to Hebron, Gibeon, Shishai, and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came into the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol, because the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and said to the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amorites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, but they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among these who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are great. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all their signs, all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people to the land which he swore to them to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he, by no means, clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men will have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test, and these 10 times have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Last time we touched on it too, it was quite a while back, and we did pray, forsaking all, I trust him. We looked at the faith, if you remember, of the Canaanite woman, her maturing faith. Now Jesus showed her how to silence, rejection, insult, and yet the lady grew in faith. Now this evening we're going to look at the faith of Caleb. Look at the faith this evening of Caleb. It's a wonder that we become a Christian at all. It's a miracle that we are saved. And yet if you think about it, it's a miracle that we actually remain Christians. Because when we sin now, we know who we're sinning against. That's a miracle that we remain Christians. This evening, if you'd like to have a title for our Bible study, it's Persevering in Faith by Following God Fully. Persevering in Faith by Following God Fully. And our text, if you like, is Numbers 14 and verse 24. And it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully." In the NIV it says, "wholeheartedly." "I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So we're going to be looking at the persevering faith of the character Caleb. We're looking at 3 points. Number one, what it means to follow God fully. Why and how Caleb could follow God fully. And lastly, the reward God gives upon following God fully. So what it means, why and how, and the rewards. Now Caleb was a man similar to us. It's difficult to think of people in the Bible being the same as us. We think of them being completely different to us. He lived in a different time, in a different culture, but he's still bone of our bone. He had similar passions to us. And you read about Caleb that he never strayed from God. He never strayed from God. He wouldn't have said it about himself. God actually said it about him. "He follows me fully," or wholeheartedly. That's nice when another Christian says that we follow God. But if God says it, how much better is that? You think of something else in the Old Testament who was said to be following God fully. Job, of course, he was a perfect and upright man. Didn't mean when God said it that Job never sinned, but he followed God fully. And again, God said it, not Job. And this is what we need. Persevere God fully by his grace. Now as you look at the story tonight, look at the spies first of all. Caleb was one of the spies that was sent out by Moses with God's permission to search out the promised land. And one person was sent from every tribe. And Caleb was one of them, along with Joshua. Now all the Israelites were camped just outside Canaan, at Kadesh Barnea, on the edge of the desert. And they were ready to conquer the land as God had promised. And all the spies came back after 40 days. And all 12 spies agreed on some basic facts. They all agreed that the land was good. It flowed with milk and honey. It's always catching my imagination that. It flowed with milk and honey. You do wonder what that actually means. I'd ask him to pull them down. Ask for offers. They also brought back a huge cluster of grapes and had to carry them on a pole. They also agreed the inhabitants of the land were mostly like a warlike people. They were giants. They were sons of Anak. You can picture them in your mind, don't they? The cities were strongholds surrounded by bulwarks. They all agreed, the 12 spies, that it would be complicated to fight these Canaanites. So all 12 spies agreed on these basic facts. The difference was, is how they interpreted these facts. There was a division amongst these 12 spies. 10 of the spies were very negative. We call that the majority report. They said, "We are not able to guard against the people, for they are stronger than we are." Chapter 13 and verse 31. They came to this conclusion because of their unbelief. They've reasoned it out and they had unbelief. They had the right facts, but they came to the wrong conclusion. They left out the biggest fact, of course, the God that had taken out of Egypt through the wilderness, and the God who had said at the beginning of chapter 13, verse 2, Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. They had come to the wrong conclusion. It was sad that so many people, in fact 2.5 million people, were led to believe that they wouldn't be able to go in there. These 10 spies were responsible for it. What a tragedy. It's a poor report to bring back. They brought back these huge clusters of grapes. They showed the people, this is what's in the land. Don't they look brilliant, gorgeous and lovely to eat? You can see them, but you can't have them. Imagine a dad coming home with a bike for their son. It's got all the latest features on it. All the latest gears, brakes. And they show the bike to their son. Look, it's an amazing bike. You can look at it, you're not allowed to ride it. And we can make the gospel sound like that to a certain extent. We can say what the wonderful blessings are of being a Christian. But I need to say to people and show people how we go on by faith. Otherwise we're like the 10 spies. So you've got these 10 people going back, the majority of people. But thankfully we've got these 2 other spies coming back with the minority report. They come back believing. God is not a man, it says in Numbers 23, verse 19, that he should lie, nor a son of man, that he should repent. As he said, and will we not do. I think this is one of the most amazing attributes about God, that he doesn't change. How often do we change just through the course of one day? 1 minute we can be in a good mood, the next minute something happens and it changes our whole perspective. God is the same all the way through, he doesn't change his mind. And he said that the people will be going to the promised land and wouldn't change his mind. And Caleb believed in this. He trusted God. And he stands up and tells the people what they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear, they could go in. They didn't want to believe it. But Caleb said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. Numbers 13, verse 30. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Caleb truly believed this. We do want to hold a conference with the other 10 spies and discuss it. God has spoken this, and he trusts me, God's promise. All the spies saw the same facts, but Joshua and Caleb had a heart for God. They all had the same facts, but they come to different conclusions. Now unbelief sometimes can be contagious, and it persuades people that the giants of Anak are larger than the promises of God. It stops our spiritual growth. True faith, persevering faith, turns the giants into dwarves. Persevering faith is a realistic faith, not an easy faith, but a sure faith. Persevering faith is when saved sinners believe in God's promises and trust in his word. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, he does immeasurably more that we than all we ask or imagine. Ephesians 3, 20. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So let's come to our 3 points. I'm wandering a little longer than number 2. What it means to follow God fully. What does it mean to follow God fully? Now, chapter of Ruth is not the only place in the Bible where it says Caleb followed God fully. It turns to Joshua, and we'll look there later on. It said Caleb followed God there fully too. It says in chapter 14, verse 13, we read that Joshua blesses him and gives him Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day because he wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. Now when he actually went into the land of Canaan, he was 40, and he only went in there when he was 85. He had to wait outside Canaan all those years. The reason he had to wait outside all those years is because of disobedient people. And the only people who would go in were the descendants of the people. And Caleb had to live with all these people for 40 years. And his faith persevered through all this time amongst these unbelieving people. He was surrounded by complaining people all around him for these 40 years before he could actually go into the land of Canaan. And like Daniel, there may not have been encouraging Christians around, but he still remained faithful to the Lord, didn't he, for all this time. So there's four things about what it means to follow God fully. Following him persistently, sincerely, indivisibly, and exclusively. Caleb followed God persistently, not in fits and starts, like you and I might like. He was faithful unto death. Now we may be religious by fits and starts, a bit like the Galatians, who started well and turned back. Or Lot's wife, for example, she left and she turned back, didn't she? What about us? What are we like as Christians? Are we consistent in our Christian life? Are we growing in faith? Caleb certainly did. He was a steady Christian, stable Christian, and people looked to him. That's important, isn't it? We can look like Christians on Sunday, but we go to work on Monday, are we still living out our Christian lives? Or is it just on Sunday that it's fairly easily among God's people? Or, for example, when I go to Aberystwyth in the summer, it's easy to behave like a Christian because you've got Christians all the way around you, or at camp. We go to school or work, it's completely different there. What are we like during the week? Do we follow God persistently? Our aim to bring glory to God, surely, and that means following God persistently throughout our life, in every opportunity. In some ways, more importantly, we live properly during the week for people actually watching us. Following God sincerely. Would we follow God if there was no heaven or hell? Would we follow God sincerely? God is lovable and worthy to be served. Because who he is. In Numbers 14 verse 10 it said the people wanted to stone Caleb, but he didn't flinch or back down, did he? Following God fully and enjoying his favour was more important than the disfavour of men. He had the fear of God in his heart. What is the fear of God? John Brown says, the fear of God is to esteem the smiles and frowns of God be of greater weight and value than the smiles of men. Of course he cared if people wanted to stone him. No one wants to be stoned, do they? That's natural. They cared more for the smile of God. The world's not afraid to speak its agenda, but how afraid are we of saying what we should? Do we stand up to God? Perhaps sometimes taking a little ridicule. When God and Jesus did so much for us, so easy to forget that. Great opportunities we walk with him. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2 it said, for I am determined, this is what Paul said, not to know of anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So following God fully means firstly to follow him persistently, not in fits and starts, sincerely because God is lovable, indivisibly. That means in the whole panorama of our life. And to follow all his commandments. Pastor Wilson did Psalm 119. I think pretty much every verse is about the law of God. I will run the course of your commandments. Caleb didn't pick and choose which commandments he wanted to follow. He followed all 10 commandments. Sometimes you might say to yourself, I know this isn't right, but anything we do knowingly pleases God more than anything perhaps, if we do something knowingly. We should follow him daily and use the means of grace. Paul mentioned that last week. People find that in him. reading the Bible, praying, and in communion with God should be our number one aim. Robert Margaret Shane said, "I must seek the face of God before the face of God, sorry, the face of man, every morning." He was known to be a godly man, wasn't he? God could say him too, perhaps. And ask more exclusively. It means you can't serve anyone else, only God. And we try to imitate the saints of the Bible, but only as far as they please God. And our text begins, doesn't it? "But my servant, Caleb, everything a servant has belongs to their master, my master being God." If we are Christians, we are servants of God, and everything we have belongs to Him. So what does it mean to follow God? Fully, wholeheartedly, means following consistently, sincerely, indivisibly, and exclusively. One stands out there for me, personally, is the one consistently, just being that steady witness where we work day by day. People are watching us all the time, aren't they? Second, how and why Caleb followed fully. Does it sound too good to be true? It says in our text, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." It says Caleb had another spirit. Another spirit. Some commentators explain it like this. The ten spies had a spirit of distrust, unbelief and fear. Caleb's spirit was of faith and hope. Theirs was worldly, his was heavenly. Theirs of angry disobedience, his of childlike obedience. All this is true, but Caleb had the Holy Spirit within him, and this came out in the way he walked with God. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Why was the Holy Spirit given to Caleb and not the ten spies? It's because of God's sovereign grace, isn't it? And what motivates God's sovereign grace? It's His love, isn't it? And what motivates His love? We go back to grace. Get excited about it. We can't get beyond God's sovereignty. God gave Caleb the strength needed and is equally willing to give it to us. God, remember, doesn't change, does He? All those years ago, He's the same now. Why would He change? He's exactly the same. God's gift of salvation includes the gift of perseverance. And ourselves, we don't have the strength to be Caleb's, but God is willing to give it to us. And finally, what are the rewards of following God fully? So how does our text go? It says, "I'll bring into land where he went, and his descendants will inherit it." Caleb's life will be preserved. That's amazing in itself. All those people died around him. Over those 40 years, 2.5 million people died around Caleb. I read that was roughly about 40 funerals a day. Imagine seeing that every day and hearing the murmuring. But Caleb and Joshua went on. They're the only ones to survive and tell what the Lord had done. It's a reward of their grace, of God's grace. Sometimes we may not think that we're going to survive. David said, "There's a step between me and death." David was hunted down for 16 years. And sometimes you feel that we've been hunted down by Satan, maybe. But God will keep you. God emphasises the word "him," the one who is following me fully. "I will bring." God honours those who honour Him. And secondly, the reward is life and also the land. God promised to give Caleb the land. Don't mind telling your Bible, which is in Joshua 14. Joshua 14. And verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke his this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now he'll have this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. It's an 85 year old man speaking to you. Just my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord of Israel. God gave him extra strength, and he rewarded his faith. Caleb drove out the sons of Anak. Who were the sons of Anak? They were those huge dark giants. The Israelites had said they wouldn't be able to do this. This is one 85 year old man. Plus God is the majority. If God is for us, who can be against us? So if you believe in the minority, or are we in the majority, the unbelieving majority? Do we believe still in the same God as Caleb 4,000 years ago? God, that you need to remember this evening, is an unchanging God. The promises in the Bible are the same today as they are now. As much as that's thought in this evening, perhaps. Okay.
Thank you very much, Ralph.